This morning's sermon, which was prepared by Pastor Harold, is entitled, We All Have Our Ups and Downs, based on Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. I'll read just a portion of it again. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain. And he was transfigured before them. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen. What goes up must come down. This is a famous proverb, a famous saying. But where did it come from, and what does it mean? Well, there are a few possibilities. Some attribute the saying to Sir Isaac Newton, the famous English scientist in the late 1600s. He is the man credited with discovering and explaining the law of gravity by dropping objects of different weights from different heights. What goes up must come down. Another source says the saying came from wartime, when soldiers on the ground were shooting large anti-aircraft guns at enemy planes flying overhead. Their commanders told them to be careful firing their shells straight up into the air, lest the shells hit nothing and fall back onto them. What goes up must come down. The truth is, we all have our up and down experiences. When we travel, we can go up a hill and down the road. With our emotions, we can feel up and we can feel down. Wages go up and down, sales go up and down. In school, grades can go up and down. Life is full of ups and downs. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, today's sermon is all about ups and downs. Our gospel reading from Mark 9 tells us that one day Jesus took with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and took them up a high mountain. Going up a mountain is a common biblical event. Up is God's domain. Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The people of Israel went up mountains and hills to build places of worship, like at Bethel, Shiloh, and Jerusalem. The prophet Elijah went up Mount Carmel to defeat the prophets of the false god Baal and to demonstrate who is really God. Jesus went up mountains and hills to pray, for the Sermon on the Mount, to the Transfiguration Mountain, and to the cross on Mount Calvary. Today's gospel finds Jesus taking some disciples up a mountain to prepare them for the end of his earthly ministry and his appointment with the cross. Up on this particular mountain, something will happen that will verify all that he has told them about who he is and why he came. This event is called the Transfiguration. Some surprises came down onto the mountain that day for Jesus' disciples. St. Mark tells us, and Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, intensely white. This means that the glory of God came down upon Jesus. This was a confirmation of who Jesus is and why he came. He is Almighty God in human flesh, who has come to be with sinful people. Jesus' dazzling white appearance reminds us of the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34:29 says, And as Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the law, his face shone with the glory of God, and the people were afraid to come near him. St. John writes an even better passage about this dazzling transfiguration glory in his vision of Jesus in heaven. Revelation 1:13 through 15 says, And there was one like the Son of Man, clothed in a white robe. His hair was white like snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet as burnished bronze glowing like in a furnace. Another big surprise came down onto that transfiguration mountain. In Mark 9:4 we read, And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Why these two Old Testament figures? Moses represents God's laws and commandments. Elijah represents all of God's prophets. Their presence declares that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament laws and prophets. All the hopes and promises are fulfilled in him. He is the long-promised Savior. And Jesus' soon coming death and resurrection is the complete fulfillment of God's plan of salvation promised for centuries. What an up experience for these disciples, Peter, James, and John. How would you like to have been there on that mountain that day? Well, the disciples did not want to go down from that mountain. In verse 5, Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In a way, Peter is saying, "This is great, Jesus. We are so near to heaven. We never want to leave. Up is great. We don't ever want to go down." But the truth is, Jesus had to go down from that mountain of glory. Jesus had a divine appointment with the cross. This was the purpose of his entire life. You see, Jesus went down that we might go up. He went down not just from that Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus went down from the glories of heaven to the dust and dirt and pain of this earth. He went down from heaven so that one day we might go up to heaven. Jesus also came down from heaven that he might be lifted up onto the cross for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of the entire world. In John 3, speaking of himself and his soon coming crucifixion, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." On that glorious transfiguration day, Jesus came down from the mountaintop of glory so that his words about the cross would be fulfilled, so that by his crucifixion to pay for our sin, people would be drawn to him in saving faith. As Jesus says in John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And after Jesus was lifted up onto the cross, he went down to the grave and death, dying for your sins, substituting his death for your death. And Holy Scripture tells us that he at that time descended down to the prison of hell, not to suffer, but to proclaim his victory over sin, death, and devil. In 1 Peter 3:18 to 19, we read, "For Christ also died for sins once and for all, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." And after this proclamation of victory, down in the very pit of hell, Jesus arose in resurrection victory. He rose up from death and hell and appeared to many hundreds of people, a few of whom have written our gospel accounts. Jesus rose to declare and demonstrate his glory, his majesty, his eternal triumph over the powers of sin, death, and devil. And not long after, he ascended back up to heaven. And one day, one glorious day, he will take us up to heaven. And there with Peter, James, and John, and all of God's people, we will bask in his transfigured, resurrected, ascended glory. And like Peter, we will want to set up tents and never come down from heaven's mountaintop. St. John the Apostle put it this way in Revelation chapter 21. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'The dwelling of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" My dear friends, until that day, and in the meantime, Jesus is the Lord of all of our ups and downs, and he will never let us down. In the name of Jesus, amen.